Welcome in to Friday's edition of Daily Tap for January 12th. I am Charlie Trischler, your host. Thanks for all of the listens lately. Good to see people are getting in on the Tapping the Keg life, the Daily Tap life. If you haven't checked us out yet, subscribe on iTunes. Give us a little rating. What do you say? We're not gonna hate that. We also can be found on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, SnowTapWI, on all of the channels. Excited to talk to you on Friday. I was talking to our co-captain, Nolan Murphy, earlier today on the phone, and I was like, Fridays are kind of easy, especially around this time of year, because we just kind of roll the ball out and we talk about all of the different sports you guys got to look forward to on Saturday specifically, with a little bit of Friday night mixed in there as well. And that's great. But before we get going, I just did want to mention first of all, I was going to start this podcast saying coming live from the shithole, but decided I wasn't going to bring politics into it today just because, yeah, I just don't feel like it. But I do think if we call ourselves like the shithole podcast, or it's, you know, the Friday shithole, it's just an easy way to get put through the rankings, because, you know, the resistance is just going to look for those sort of things. So, but we're not here to do that. I also did want to shout out Elon Musk for going to a sex party that he claims he went to and thought it was a corporate party with a costume theme. Here's the thing about that. And, like, I know in today's day and age, you're like, yeah, he's full of shit, just like every other executive and all these other people who've said stupid shit like this and then they get caught and whatever. I feel like Elon Musk is a big enough fucking nerd to not know what's going on. Like, this just feels like some Silicon Valley shit, like something that Richard Hendricks would do. And all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, I'm not supposed to be here. Yeah. People are, oh, yep. That is an orgy. Wouldn't you know it? Oh, well, that looks a little bit like a gangbang. All right, well, see you later. And maybe, you know, common mistake. When do you not just kind of just rumble into a sex party? Whoops. So yeah, that's that. So, but yeah, thought I'd give a drop. If you hadn't heard that story, Elon Musk is in a little bit of trouble, but not too much. Another quick note before we talk about the weekend, I did just write about this, so if you guys saw it, but worth calling out, David Bakhtiari getting rated number one offensive tackle according to the Bleacher Report 100. That is a huge honor. It is a big look for David, and I'm really happy that that did happen. Packers also added Patrick Graham from the Giants. I can't wait for someone to say, why are the Packers adding two players from the Giants two coaches from the Giants after how bad they were? Graham comes from the Patriots, though, so that should keep everybody's boners fully erect. And, you know, it's fine. That's so, like, such a pinhead way to look at it about where these guys coached before and the difference. And, oh, yeah, by the way, defensive line for the Giants actually was kind of okay. JPP, might have heard of him, Snacks Harrison. Those are good players. So just relax. So, yeah, Patrick Graham comes in. I will say another interesting thing, just kind of going through this rapid fire, Mark Helfrich going to the Bears to be their offensive coordinator is fascinating to me. Mark Helfrich, he has had an interesting legacy, I think. You know, he's known as Chip's guy, and then I think he was given Chip's castle, and he burnt it down. Like, he could add Tua from Alabama. I tried to do his last name, and I just stopped myself. That wasn't going to happen. He could add Tua. He could add other recruits. Like, he really bungled Oregon, and they are in a spot where they are now on their third coach in 3 years, and it's just not a good situation. So that's where you have it. Anyways, let's talk about the weekend. Starting Friday night, we have a big sports night of Wisconsin hoops that I am going to be DVRing for most of it. So girlfriend and I have been kind of adamant about going to see some movies, getting ourselves ready for the Oscar season. We like award shows. And so, but usually what happens is we talk about going to see some of these movies and we just never do. This week I saw that The Downer was playing I, Tonya, and that's definitely a movie I want to see. I love the Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan story. I turned her onto it. She saw 30 for 30. And so we were both like in on this movie, and our schedule just didn't work. And we're like, let's just go Friday. And not really a huge deal. But then I was like, oh man, Marquette plays at 5:30. the Bucks play at 7. This would have been an awesome basketball Friday night. Would have been ball night, as Mike Wilbon once upon a time said. But instead, I will watch most of that Marquette game, DVR the tail end, and then fire that DVR up for Bucks Warriors, and just watch all of it. You know, probably Saturday, probably while having college basketball on another TV, instead of watching The Sopranos, which have now, I hate this with shows. Like I'll start shows. I started The Sopranos. I'm like halfway through season two, and then I just fall out of flavor with them. And it's not the show's fault. It's the fact that I just do not have enough time in my day. And this is going to sound such a hardo, but like I just watch too much sports. And so then I don't have time to like sit down and watch The Sopranos. And what I really should do is like, if I'm invested in a game that has nothing to do with my team, is like just have it streaming. Like it's 2017, you dumbass. Like, why wouldn't you just have it streaming? Now I'm kind of like talking to myself, and some people are like, maybe this is why you podcast, so you don't have these inner dialogues with yourself. But back to the games themselves. So starting with the Bucks against the Warriors, I don't know how much this game exactly means. I think it'd be great for the Bucks to get a second straight win. It'd be great for them to get a signature win of the season if you beat the best team in basketball. But in the long run, is it really that important of a game? No, not really. The Bucks and Warriors have played some classics in the past. These two teams do not really like each other, mostly Draymond Green, which surprises no one. But yeah, and the whole Jordan Bell thing is fascinating, given the fact that I think a lot of Bucks fans look at Jordan Bell and think that he was the kind of guy that should be on this Bucks team, and not a player like DJ Wilson, who's been probably one of the top three, maybe even top disappointments in the draft this so far. Well, Markelle Fultz. I mean, the fact that Markelle Fultz has the fucking yips is incredible. It's a really sad story. Like, I'm not trying to be funny here, but it's an incredible story. It's an unbelievable story that a number one pick just completely forgot how to shoot basketball. It's like he was a robot or something. I don't know. But Wilson's right up there with Fultz in terms of bad draft picks, because there have been so many good ones below, guys like Kyle Kuzma, Jordan Bell. It's inexcusable that the Bucks picked DJ Wilson at that number 18 spot. The Warriors have kind of been banged up a little bit. Who knows? I think Steph Curry's going to play. He has an ankle thing. Kevin Durant's been on and off about a calf injury, so it looks like both guys will play. It'd be great to get the Warriors at full strength and Bucks at pretty much full strength and see what happens and see what kind of game we can get out of these two teams, because I think it would be a dandy, and I know that Giannis wants to show out against Kevin Durant. That's always the thing, is Giannis loves playing Kevin Durant because that's his idol. This guy looks up to. And so Giannis always kind of makes it a point to have big games against Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has obviously sung his praises in the past. So it should be a fun atmosphere in the Bradley Center. I think it's going to be a sellout, big crowd, a lot of Bucks fans, not a lot of Warriors fans left. And then the Bucks, you know, don't just stop there with the weekend. They also have to play a very good Heat team on Sunday afternoon, noon start. So incorporate that into your NFL viewing. And it'll be interesting to see how they do. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about this game Saturday, to the fact that they have Saturday in Miami. That just screams Hangover Bucks. And I know Hangover Bucks didn't happen in Toronto. Hangover Bucks is really strong in Miami. That's troublesome. I didn't really consider that, and the Bucks are perpetually bad on Sundays. They were a terrible Sunday team. They have a few Sunday games coming up, so hopefully that trend doesn't bleed into the... So we'll see what happens. I think if the Bucks get a split, everyone should be pleased. And if they lose both games, I think there's worthwhile anger. Heat are a good team, but they're not a great team. The Heat are hot right now. But at the same time, the Bucks have a talented roster that can match up with them. It's just a matter of if they come to play, especially if they beat a Warriors team on Friday night. So we'll see. And with the Warriors game, it's a house money game. You want to win. You want to show out for your fans. Just don't get embarrassed. That's, I think, the general takeaway is just don't get your ass kicked by this team with a ton of fan support in attendance and knowing they'll come back if they see a great game out there. So moving on to the college ranks, big college basketball weekend. I think I'm starting to really get ingratiated with the college basketball season. I think it helps when Marquette's playing good basketball. I tend to care a little bit more. I tend to look at a lot of things. and they are playing Butler on Friday night after giving all this Big Ten shit about Friday night games. Lo and behold, Marquette is a Friday night game, and I had zero idea that it was. I totally thought this was Saturday, and I was like, this is great. With games in the middle of both the football games, it kind of works well. It's just a good palate cleanser, good thing to have on a stream. Nope. Friday game against Butler at Hinkle Fieldhouse, a place where Marquette has not won yet, and since Butler has joined the Big East. It's kind of crazy. Butler, it's been all over the board. Butler's blown them out. They went to overtime once. It's been sort of a up and down, and Butler's definitely had the advantage inside their stadium. Now, Grant, Marquette's beat them a couple times at the Bradley Center, but they play a Butler team who's kind of on the skids. They've lost three straight. Butler definitely needs this win. I don't think it is a must win given how good the Big East is, and you can make up wins pretty easily. But at the same time, Butler definitely, you know, would prefer to break this streak, and you hate to play a team who's in desperation of a need, a win, who might want it more than you. Marquette's looking to get a second straight win, and they can do it. I think they can. Butler is a beatable team. Butler gives up a lot of points. They've shown sort of a vulnerability at times, and Keelan Martin somehow still in fucking school, which is incredible. I mean, congrats to Keelan. He is a Van Wilder first teamer, without question. But he's seen a decrease in three-point shooting. He's 29% for the year. He's only made 35. He's shot 118, a lot. And that kind of is a detriment to that team, no? He's shooting the most three-pointers on his team and making them at a very low rate. So at this point, I wonder if Marquette's going to dare Martin to shoot the three and see what happens, because he's dipped 8 percentage points from last year. And so we'll see. And new coach with Lavelle Jordan out there. I think Lavelle, who was at UWM, is a downgrade to what Chris Holtmann is, given seeing what Chris is doing with Ohio State right now, which is absolutely incredible. Arguably one of the stories of the college basketball season. They just notched a win Thursday night against Maryland, where they kicked the shit out of them, following up a huge win against Michigan State. I mean, they're going to be ranked, and they were picked 11th in the Big 10. So Holtmann making a big old statement out the door. So back to the game itself, I think, you know, we'll see if the whole Andrew Rousey at home, Marcus Howard on the road thing continues. That's been a somewhat of a trend. See if that happens. And I think Marquette's kind of rounding in the form. I wouldn't be surprised if they win this game. I'm a little more worried about a letdown against DePaul, no matter what happens here. Someone asked, would you rather win the game today and lose to DePaul, or just status quo and take it? And man, that's a tough one. I think I'd actually take the win against Butler and like a very, very close loss to Purdue. I know this is careful what you wish for, but a very close loss to Purdue would hurt the resume, but it wouldn't necessarily be that bad. And a win against Purdue, who's going to be a tournament team likely, is always good. It always adds a tournament. It always adding another tournament team to your resume is always a good thing. So a lot of other college basketball games to keep an eye on this Saturday. You have the Big 12 and the Big East doing it big, which is not a surprise to anybody. Two best conferences in the country. TCU at Oklahoma. So Trae Young going up against Jamie Dixon defense. TCU coming off that really tough double overtime loss in Austin against Texas. West Virginia heads to Texas Tech. Should be a fun game. Texas Tech also coming off a loss to Oklahoma. So West Virginia, we'll see how they travel. We'll see where their head's at, since they have to play Kansas at home on Monday night. So we'll see if West Virginia is all there. Creighton at Xavier. Xavier got absolutely pounded by Villanova this week. They play Creighton, who's actually been kind of a sneaky, subtle, good Big East team. They're at the top of the table, and one loss on the year. Marcus Foster has been incredible. We'll see if they can keep it up and they can get an important road win. Xavier seems to be beating the teams they're supposed to, and wouldn't be surprised they do it here. Other ones just to quickly run through. You got Michigan at Michigan State, Purdue at Minnesota, Kansas State at Kansas, Georgetown at Seton Hall. Interesting barometer game for the Hoyas, who some people think they have a chance at tournament, which I do not. Oregon and Arizona, good chance for anyone to check out DeAndre Ayton, top 5, top 1, maybe the number 1 pick in the draft. If you haven't watched him yet, it's a 1 o'clock start on ESPN2. Plenty of time to do that. North Carolina and Notre Dame lost some luster. Same with Texas A&M and Texas A&M at Tennessee. And then Kentucky heads to Vanderbilt. So all those games, a lot of good ones to keep an eye on. Definitely keeping the rotation prior to the NFL playoffs, which we are talking about now. And while we aren't talking about the Saints, we'll be doing that on Saturday. I shall remind you that on Sunday, we're all Saints fans. But we're talking about Falcons, Eagles, and Tennessee and New England. And let's just get Tennessee and New England out of the way. So I don't think there's a blueprint to beating New England. I think Tennessee, I'd said last week that Tennessee was a trash team, and I kind of got bit me in the ass. I looked right for half a game, and then the second half of the game, I was a dumbass. So what's going to happen when you head into Foxborough? Well, they are focused on running the football, and the Patriots do have a problem with stopping the run. So Derrick Henry could have just a massive day on the ground. There's no question in my mind. But at the same time, the fact that Tennessee's defense is built on letting you dink and dunk down the field, guess who's the best quarterback at dinking and dunking? Oh, yeah, Tom Brady. And, oh, yeah, Tom Brady has been hearing for 2 weeks about how he's not committed and this is like a separation thing. Doesn't it just feel like Brady, if the weather is all right, that he's going to throw for 350 yards and 4 touchdowns? I kind of get that vibe from Tom. And I don't see this being close. I really don't. I think this is about a 30 to, let's say, 10 game. I think Deion Lewis and Rex Burkhead plays have huge games out of the backfield. And that's something that Kansas City refused to do with Kareem Hunt. And Bill Belichick will take advantage of the fact that they rank 32nd in the league against pass-catching running backs. Sounds like a massive day for Deion Lewis. We are going to finish off with the Falcons and Eagles. A game that I am having trouble with. What I don't understand is why the public is loading up on the Falcons. Bill Simmons of The Ringer has his gambling manifesto, and there's always the line about beware the team who looks too good in round one. Isn't that the Falcons? Isn't that the Falcons? I mean, the Falcons came out, kicked ass, looked like the Super Bowl team that everyone expected all year. And wouldn't it be just like the 2017 Falcons to come in here and lay an egg and not play well against the Eagles? I think it is entirely plausible. I know Nick Foles is a bad quarterback, and maybe they're going to need some defensive touchdowns to win this game, but it's not entirely impossible. Julio Jones should feast against this secondary, although they have one or two guys who can at least hold him a little bit. The inability to run the football against the Eagles could be a difference maker, though, and not being able to catch the ball. It's going to all fall on Matt Ryan to win this game, and I'm not sure Matt Ryan can do that. I don't know if Steve Sarkisian can let himself do that, and we'll see about Nick Foles. I have a feeling, I don't know why, that Nick Foles comes out and does it big again and gets his kind of his swagger back. He's had 2 weeks to prepare. And feels good. I said the same thing about Brett Hundley at Once Upon a Time, and then Brett Hundley sucked against the Saints, and fate was ruined. So what you won't hear is that I edited out a yawn that I just did, but I'm pretty tired, so I need to call it before it gets too late. So Tappers, take care of yourself. You guys have an awesome Friday and a better weekend. We'll check in on Saturday, talk about the Bucks and Warriors, as well as Marquette and Butler. And look ahead to the Sunday NFL slate. Should be a lot of fun. So we shall talk later. Peace.